Welcome to Ignite Your Light, a podcast to help you navigate life's adversity, follow your curiosity, and stay true to yourself. Life can feel pretty confusing for everyone. I've harnessed my network of empowering individuals to help inspire you to create a life that feels authentic and on purpose. I interview healers, creatives, entrepreneurs, and girl bosses who are living their truth and inspiring others to do so too. I'm your host, Riley Webster, and I'm so happy that you're here with me today. I'm super excited to share this conversation I had with Jen Craig Evans. Jen is a yoga teacher who approached me a few weeks ago about an idea she had for a yoga teacher mentorship project. It's called the Pay It Forward Yoga Teacher Mentorship Project. If you follow me on Instagram, you've likely seen me posting about it. Basically, it's an 8-week financially feasible yoga teacher mentorship program that caters to brand new yoga teachers who are hoping to refine their skills, gain confidence, develop their personal brand, which is where I come in the teaching aspect, as well as just gain the support that they need to overcome their fears and all of that that comes with stepping into a teaching role. So she approached me to help work on that with her, which I've been really excited to do. I've been helping with the communication strategy, doing some writing, as well as developing a workshop for the mentees about refining a personal brand and how people can really access their own tools to better communicate who they are and the offerings that they want to share. So without further ado, here is Jen. I hope you enjoy this conversation. Thanks so much, Jen, for being on the Ignite Your Light podcast. I'm super happy to have you here and be able to talk about your journey with teaching yoga.
Yeah, I'm honored to be here. And, you know, just for the sake of transparency, for those of you who are listening, we've been having some technical difficulties that comes across in our voice. We're starting again. So
third time's the charm. And maybe it's just going to be the most authentic this time. So it's all good.
Totally.
So if you don't mind just speaking to how you got into yoga and your journey with getting into a teaching career.
Yeah, absolutely. So I came to yoga after a pretty lengthy career in a very athletic space, and that was teaching swimming lessons. And then ultimately I was teaching scuba diving. And then I even had some time as a commercial diver. So yes, like that underwater welding type stuff, which was all
wonderful. That is badass.
Thanks. Yeah, I mean, it was. I'm not going to sugarcoat it or try to minimize it. It was very cool. And a super neat experience and something that I will forever have the most amazing stories from, and very fond memories and experiences. And, it was also a time of it being very, very physically demanding on my body. And so, yeah. So, and that wasn't just with the commercial diving. Although at one point, one of my lead instructors did tell me, and this was just him being candid and giving it to me real, which I appreciated at the time. He said I was going to have to work twice as hard as any man to earn the same respect in the industry, because that's the commercial diving I'm speaking to. It was a very, and remains, although there's more women in it now, a very male-dominated industry.
Mm-hmm. So, I can imagine.
Yeah, so I worked my butt off in terms of the physical workouts and trying to, quote, prove myself. And let me say, at the same time, I was also teaching this instructor level program full time for the majority of those years, which was awesome. Also physically demanding, but more kind of in my wheelhouse of teaching. And so during that time, I was pushing my body really hard. I was working out when I didn't want to work out because I felt I had to, which I think a lot of people can relate to. At one point, pardon me, I injured my shoulder quite badly. And up until this point in time, I had practiced yoga a little bit, but not consistently and not a whole lot. And so one of the rehabilitation exercises that my specialist at the time wanted me to do was go to hot yoga, both to help me get my range of motion and some strength back. And so that was kind of my first introduction to doing it regularly. And at the time, it was like an athletic prescription, so I could really justify spending the time doing that versus going for like a 6K run or whatever my regular
Right.
routine was. And then what ended up happening was after years of teaching and doing this, my shoulder was still, it took a long time to heal, first of all. And secondly, it was also a time that the company was transitioning away from teaching this instructor program that I was teaching and starting to focus more on their commercial division instructional program. So we collectively made a choice at the time to shelve that program. It had been running since the late 80s. And I made the choice to be laid off. I could have stayed if I wanted to, but it just felt like a time of transition and that it was meant to be for me to move on and try something else.
Good for you for listening to that too. So after that, you did your 200-hour teacher training, correct?
Yeah, correct. Well, so I left that job with no clue on earth what I was going to do next.
Which
So
is super brave,
there was.
and I commend you for that.
Thank you very much. It was also terrifying, if I'm being honest. And so at this point, my personal practice had become quite regular, my personal yoga practice, and I was starting to shift into a space where I was really starting to feel the benefits beyond the physical, because that's really what drew me to it in the first place. And so because I had been teaching in different capacities my whole life, from teaching swimming lessons to the diving, I kind of thought, well, I'm a teacher first, so maybe I could give this teaching yoga thing a go. And from there, I signed up for my first 200-hour training.
And then, as most of us do when we exit our 200-hour training, we're so full of fear and imposter syndrome and thoughts like, who the hell am I to teach this practice? Can I do it? I don't know what I'm doing. How did you get over that fear? How did you navigate that?
Yeah, well, firstly, just I would like to acknowledge that that was absolutely my case too, as it is for most of us coming out of a training. I was very fortunate that I had a background in teaching. So the stage fright that I know a lot of new instructors get just around this concept of being in front of a room of people and teaching, let alone holding space and class planning and all the other stuff that goes with it, I know that can be quite intimidating. And I was very blessed that I had so much experience in teaching, although I was new to teaching yoga. So, but beyond that, I absolutely had, as you call it, imposter syndrome and comparisonitis, I think I've heard it called. And I think that was largely because I was still going to a lot of regular classes, and I was going to a lot of classes of teachers that I really respected and had been teaching for a long time. And so there was kind of always this undercurrent of, oh my God, am I ever going to be able to do it even close to as well as them?
Yeah, without actually taking into account that they've been doing it for 10 plus years.
Precisely, but that's not what you think about when you're like in your own head about it, right?
Totally, totally. And I mean, I can relate. I think I waited over 2 years to start actually teaching yoga after my training. And I did do my training without really the intention of becoming a teacher. I did it for just my personal growth, and I wanted to learn more about the practice because in university I was really struggling with anxiety, and yoga was just helping me so much. So I just wanted to dive in and learn more. And after I did the training, I was like, okay, cool. Like maybe I'll use this one day. But as like the longer it went after my training, the more scared I got, and the more I felt like I would never be able to gain the confidence to actually be in front of a room and teach a practice which I knew so well in my body, but I didn't know how to translate that to a group. I was so worried about it, someone not liking the class or the class not being well received. All of those fears were just going through my mind. So for me, like after 2.5 years, I just got so, I think it was about 2.5 years, I just got so sick of my own excuses that I was like, fuck it. I'm just gonna start. I'm just gonna start teaching because I have to learn through action. And that's the only way I'm gonna learn how to be a teacher is by actually doing it. So there comes a point where you just have to start, and it's so hard to make that leap. And I think for me, I mean, I sat down with you before I got this one teaching job. I sat down with you. I sat down with a few teachers who just helped give me the confidence and just helped give me like really practical tools to use in my classes that just helped me feel more secure. And is that kind of what you did? Did you seek out a mentor, or how did that look like for you?
Yeah, absolutely. I had been practicing with a particular teacher, and I'll give her shout out. Her name is Susie Newson, and she is a fantastic senior, well-experienced teacher. So I'd been attending her classes regularly as a personal practice for quite some time. And pretty well immediately after I finished my 200-hour teacher training, I was just hungry for more and wanted more support. And so she happened to be offering a mentorship program at the time that I very eagerly and quickly dove right into. And the beautiful thing about it is it was one-on-one and it was tailored to me. So we had several weeks of just time to sit and practice and talk and learn and soak up really everything that she could tell me. And the beautiful thing about it was that it was, although it was structured and it was educational, it was also just a lot of wisdom and knowledge from her based on her personal growth and experience of being there herself, you know? And the other thing that was beautiful about it was kind of this confirmation of, yeah, I've been there and I know how hard it is in the beginning and I know about the fears. So to have that confirmation as well while also learning and strengthening a skill set was really a pivotal experience for me.
Yeah, that's beautiful. So, shifting gears a little bit, you were on a walk by yourself, you told me, when you had this download of this idea for a mentorship project for brand new yoga teachers that would also be like a cyclical karmic pay it forward process. Can you explain a little bit more about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So I was walking through the forest here in Nelson, BC, where I'm currently living, which is where I do most of my best thinking. And it just feels so grounding for me. So I find that when I get out into the trees and allow myself to really be there, then all the other noise falls away and I have an opportunity to really check in and be more present with that which I really need to be thinking about, if that makes sense.
Totally.
Yeah, so I had, you know, I my partner and I have been in a big transition since we moved from Victoria in October. And so part of that has been considering what my teaching career will look like going forward and what really lights me up and what I love doing. And what I know now is that working with other teachers is something that really lights my fire or ignites my light.
Yes.
And it's an area, you know, speaking of this fear and confidence of just to go a little bit in a circle here, speaking of this fear and confidence of, you know, not being good enough or ready as a new teacher. Well, let me tell you, when you then come to a point where you're like, okay, I think I want to teach teachers, then there's this whole, there for me was this whole new wave of, I'm not ready for this. People won't take me seriously. I'm not ready to teach. Who am I to teach teachers? You know? So it was a bit of a soul searching process and with some confirmation of others to say, you know, you are absolutely ready and you are a person that should be doing this. And over the time that I allowed that to sink in and for me to truly believe it myself, I began to begin the process of manifesting opportunities and roles in my career and programs that are that of working with teachers. And so on this particular day that I was walking through the woods, I was thinking about this notion of I just really want to be working with teachers more and what might that look like? And almost as if a download from the universe or the divine or whomever, the first thing I actually heard in my mind was pay it forward project. And so I sat with that for a moment and I thought, well, what would that look like? And I had been previously inspired by the work that the Omwork Project does, and they send a young woman to a yoga teacher training of their choice anywhere in the world, and they have a scholarship fund for that, which is so beautiful. And so then again, without thinking about it much, I knew that I needed to speak to the founder, Nicole McClellan, about it and see how maybe this notion of pay it forward could support them. And that was all I had initially. But then because I was thinking about teaching teachers, I thought, all right, so that's what it is. It's a mentorship program that we make very financially accessible, because let's face it, a teacher, new teacher right out of a teacher training has already just spent a bunch of money. So can we make it very financially accessible while donating a generous proceed or portion of the proceeds back to the OMWORK project, so that it becomes like this karmic cyclical project where there's a mentor who wants to give their time for a very low payback, other than, you know, just the karma action of it. The new teacher gets an opportunity to be mentored and receive those skills in which that they're really craving to learn. And then a portion of it goes back to the OMWORK project. And then ultimately the OMWORK project could send one of their new teachers in the way of the Pay It Forward project, and maybe even become a mentor themselves down the road. So that's kind of the concept and how it was born.
Yeah, it's so beautiful. And I just love that we've made it financially accessible while still providing funds to the OMWORK project, because I mean, this is half the price of a regular mentorship. It's the price is 400 and I forget the exact price.
440.
So, I mean, for 8 weeks, it's just very, very feasible. So I love that part of it. I love that we're supporting the OMWORK project, and I love that a new teacher can come into this and get really tangible skills and really have the entire program be catered to their needs.
Yeah. And, you know, the one more thing I just would like to add to that is that, you know, yoga teachers, especially that are new or they're trying to make a career of teaching yoga, I just want to highlight this point that, you know, it's not the highest paying job on the planet. And so I just want to go back to respecting everybody's time that's going into this project, you know, including yourself, Riley, being one of the co-founders, and then Emily Johnson as well did a lot of our graphics. And so it's very important for me to acknowledge and recognize that, yes, this is a karmic project, but it's also so important for me to honor the time that's being put into this on all accounts. And so I guess really that's what karma yoga is all about, is it's this notion of really paying it forward and doing something good for another human being, right? And at the same time, we all need to, you know, eat and pay rent and everything else. And so I honor that fact. And I guess this is a good point for me to say that my vision of the project going forward is not for a mentor, whoever that may be in the acting role, to be constantly working for free or for not a very high amount of money, but rather that the mentors get drawn in as a calling to offer something back, and that they can kind of keep cycling out in this pay it forward cyclical motion, so that we keep getting new, different mentors in that may be more suited for other mentees, but that it's not like a continuous working for free either, to the point that then the mentor doesn't feel valued as well. If that makes sense.
Exactly. No, it totally does. And I just think that the more we can help people feel confident in their offerings and be able to step out into the community and share from their hearts in a confident way that feels completely aligned, I think the better we can make the world, the better we can make the community, the more connected we can feel to each other. So I think it really truly is an act of karma to be spending time to help people really refine their offerings and share it in a way that feels heart-centered.
I couldn't agree more. And I think that one of the key elements that I hope that comes out of this is honing in on this notion. And, you know, this is a bit more of a bit of a broader topic again, but yoga teachers who are new, at least in my own experience, tend to want to say yes to everything. They want to teach. Yeah. They want to teach. They have a passion to share this practice that is sacred to them, that has been so beneficial in their own lives. And so every opportunity that comes their way is yes, 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 yes. So a learning experience becomes that of setting boundaries and that of really honing in on who they are as a teacher and who they serve best, and maybe also equally as important, who they don't. And so with that, I think that there's this greater conversation, and hopefully this can be addressed through the mentorship program, of yes, getting clear on your who and your why and standing in a place of confidence to say yes, but also to say no to those opportunities or those teaching opportunities that don't light you up, because then that comes across, right?
Completely. And I think that's just part of self-care as a yoga teacher, because being in front of a room can be really exhausting. And I think most teachers have been there when they've said yes to too many things, and then they arrive in the room and already, you know, your energy feels depleted and you're stumbling over your words, and you know, it's kind of a bit of a struggle. So being able to understand who you are as a teacher through, you know, different coaching exercises and this and that can help you be more clear with how you're showing up to your offerings and where you're aligned, where you aren't, you know, being able to tap in and listen to when it feels like something is something you should say no to.
Mm-hmm, for sure. And I think, you know, there's still value in trying out different methods of teaching and different styles and so forth, without running yourself into the ground, of course, so that you can get a better idea of, it takes time and experience sometimes, right, to figure out who you are and what you want to offer and what really aligns. And in my experience, some of the most profound learning experiences I've had, or one in particular I can think of, was when I was teaching an environment that was, it was wonderful, and it was a great learning experience for me, and it was a popular, highly regarded place to be. And also, it wasn't completely aligned with me at the time, and I didn't really realize that until later down the road. But I can recall a specific incident in which I was standing in front of the class, and they, or sitting, or whatever I was doing, and they were in a seated meditation, and their eyes were closed, and I was preparing to, you know, step into gear. And I remember thinking to myself, I am such a fraud here right now. This is not me. This is not the right place for me to be. And that was a profound learning experience for me, because on one hand, this was what was very real and happening for me in my experience. And on the other hand, this was a highly sought after place that, you know, lots of teachers were constantly telling me was a, that were, you know, it was like a sought after place to teach. It was a sought after place to practice. And all of those things were true. But for me personally, it wasn't fully aligned with what I needed to be offering in the world. So that becomes an interesting parallel too. And I think that, you know, that's something that a lot of teachers can relate to too, is where is the right community and environment for you to be teaching in? If you're not just doing something where you're in your own space and your own offering that you've created 100%.
Totally. And I think a lot of us struggle with like feeling the shoulds. I should teach here because this and that, or I should work with this client because of this and that, instead of being able to really ask yourself why and figuring out what is your why, right?
Yes. Yes.
And absolutely. Using that as a guide.
I couldn't agree more.
Yeah, I think that's a very powerful practice. And again, this all takes experience, but I think a mentorship program or having that one-on-one time can really help to refine who you are as a teacher and move forward in a way that serves you best.
Absolutely. And then, as you already mentioned, it just becomes an ongoing practice of self-care too, to make sure that you are listening to yourself and what you need. And, you know, I'll be bold enough to say this, but I know a lot of yoga teachers, and myself included, at different phases of my career, that really do not practice with their preaching and they do not take care of themselves from a mental health perspective as
completely.
Well,
doing. Yeah.
And
because
so,
it's kind of like spiritual bypassing though, you know, if I'm teaching four classes a week, then I'm in my practice and I'm spiritual and I'm aligned because I'm teaching this, when sometimes, I mean, I've actually in the last, I took 2 months off teaching. I'm just getting back into it this summer because I was finding I was showing up and I wasn't feeling inspired or authentic. And as soon as that came up for me, it was a huge red flag of, okay, I need to take some time to figure out what is it that I'm wanting to share? What is my why? And has it changed? And of course it's going to change. We're always evolving, but being able to take a step back and get out of that trap of that bypassing, I think it's really tough because it comes from the ego, and our ego wants to fight us at every chance sometimes. But I think that can be sometimes more powerful than the doing.
Yes, absolutely. And it's good for you for listening to that and taking a step back, because I know for myself, it took me a while to listen to that. And in my experience, I actually had a bit of a burnout experience where I just ran myself into the ground. I was teaching way too much, and it took me a while to listen. And it wasn't until I had a bit of a breakdown that I needed to take a step back and pump the brakes, you know? So it's a learning experience for all of us. And yeah, I guess I can't, I feel so, so strongly that all of us in life need to take care of ourselves first, especially if we're in a role that asks us to show up and hold space for other people.
Completely. Yeah, absolutely. So I'll ask you one last question, and that is, what is your advice to listeners to ignite their light? So meaning follow their passion, turn what they love into their career, what have you, really being able to shine their own unique light.
Slow down long enough to listen. I think
that's nice.
Because at least for me, it wasn't until I slowed down enough. And I think actually this story, unfortunately, is all too common, where especially if you're in a physical career, it takes an injury or even a mental health crisis to halt you dead in your tracks long enough to really pause and force you to slow down and listen. So my advice would be, can you start to integrate some practices into your life so that you can slow down and listen without a major crisis taking place, forcing you to do so. And furthermore, you know, you can do all the training and practicing and learning even from a mentor in the world, which is all fantastic proactive steps. At the end of the day too, you just have to take a bit of a leap in faith and try, and have the courage to, maybe doesn't work out exactly the way you had planned, get back up again and try a different way.
I love that. I love that. Growing through the action. That's beautiful. Yes. Well, thank you so much, Jen. This was such a good chat, and I'm so excited about the mentorship project. I think it's going to be amazing, and I'm going to explain after this just how everyone can apply, because the applications close on Friday.
Yes. Thank you so much for having me, Riley. It's been an honor to be here. And thank you for bringing this offering forward into the world. It's a really beautiful opportunity to showcase people doing their thing and igniting their own light, and give us all a great example to follow.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. Thank you so much for listening. I have linked below where you can apply for the Pay It Forward Yoga Teacher Mentorship Program. I am in charge of one of the lessons, which is a refining your personal brand component. So really tapping into who you are and how you can help share your offering in the most authentic way that feels aligned with you and your heart. So I'm really, really happy to be involved with this project. Jen is incredible. For those of you who are interested, I've also linked her information below where you can learn more about her, her teaching, all that jazz. We're a really good team, and I'm really grateful for the partnership in this. So I hope that this translates to you as well. And of course, if you have any questions, please just send me a message on Instagram. You can follow me at by Riley Webster. I hope you have an amazing rest of your day, and I will be in touch next week with another episode.